I appreciated Ed talking about Doug P. and how in the beginning, when a person comes with no experience, I think we give them a shorter leash. That might have been Gabe Kapler for us. And it could be coupled with personality and results. And that whole combination allows for people to like or dislike maybe more or less. I think when people come with a resume, like currently with the Flyers, Vigneault, and certainly with Girardi, when he had said in the article 10 years of managing in New York City, 10, I was like, man, that's tough to do. I don't know how many years Joe Torre was there. I felt like he was there a long time too. And in this article, that might be one of the things that maybe because he is a smart guy, he also likes learning from smart people. And for instance, he would say Torre knew how to kind of keep Steinbrenner from the players. And like Torre, hey, I got it, George. You know, they lost their first two games of the World Series against the Braves. I believe that was 96.
It was.
96. And George was going crazy. And Joe says to him, Joe Torre says, yeah, George, I got this. Atlanta's my town. Atlanta's my town. We're going to go down there. We're going to get those and we're going to come back and win it in six. And sure enough, that was what they did. So, but Girardi really had he said the players had an appreciation that he was a buffer for them. And just to be able to acknowledge and see that and then take that for, to your own managing. Another one was he was a bench coach and two guys had gotten sent down and they were very upset. I could use other words for them, that they created a dartboard in the clubhouse with the pictures of the general manager and the manager of the big club. Then there must have been some, maybe it was a spring train, I don't know. But anyhow, the big club and them interact, and a guy was hurt, and they asked Girardi, you know, who should we bring up? And they had seen the dartboard, the guys, the manager and the general manager, and they saw their faces on it. And Girardi knew that the best player was the one who had created the dartboard and was playing well. And Don Zimmer had always told him, don't let your personal feelings get in the way of what is best for the team. And even though he thought that was wrong, what that guy did, he knew the talent-wise, he was the one that should get called up. And he told them that. And they did call the guy up, and it was the right move. And so it was just cool to see some of the things that he learned along the way. A lot of cool things. So I'm talking about head coaches, managers. You had one, Josh, with the Flyers. I loved this one. You thought was that you really enjoyed him when he was doing the job and probably wasn't given enough time or should have been given more time.
Yeah, one of the listeners to the show, Dave, on Twitter responded with this, and I completely agreed, Peter Laviolette. And one of the issues I had was pretty much the end of his time. It reflected more of the player personnel decisions that the team had, which was some of the worst between 2011 into 2012. You trade Sergei Bobrovsky. The year prior, you sign Ilya Brizgalov. And when you just compare those two in general, Bob ended up being the better goalie for much, much cheaper than Briz did. And it wasn't a decision that even came from the general manager at the time. That was an ownership decision. And then you also trade JVR for Luke Shen. And that's another rough, rough move.
Whoa. And you know what? And if you look around, for instance, the one that always comes to my mind immediately is in San Antonio and how Pop and RC have been a tandem there forever. And that a lot of times those two positions, meaning front office and your coaching, you really need to be working in tandem. And you both need to be strong at what you do. You cannot have a weak link in one of the two. or it's going to bring the other guy down, is my experience.
That's what's made things so great in New England. It's the same guy for both.
I don't think many people can do that, though.
No, because he's all-time great at both of those jobs, too.
Yes, but we've seen it. Mike Holmgren tried it in Seattle. That did not work for him. Andy tried it. I think Andy's better doing one. Forget about Chip. That's just silly. Chip Kelly.
I think McCarthy had some extra control there, too, in Green Bay for a bit as well.
Sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any in basketball, generally speaking. I mean, when Larry Brown was here, he was the president of basketball and had Billy King as a general manager, and eventually Billy got the whole title of that. But I think in the beginning, Larry was, you know, overseeing it all and coaching the guys. So do you appreciate that position in the moment? Or does it take, it's too hard to really like the head coach or the head skipper on a day-to-day when they're on the job? I guess if your team's on a like winning streak, you might think he's genius. You might enjoy and think, wow, we have great leadership, finally. That can happen. And I imagine with Girardi, it's very possible. Because the last couple of seasons with Cap, you know, the spiral downward was unbelievable. Yesterday, we had Greg Murphy of NBC Sports Philadelphia on to talk some baseball with us. And when we were talking about the 60 games, and Girardi mentions this in an article, separate article in the paper today, you know, the way you look at it, everybody's tied and heading, you know, towards getting one of those wild card spots. Everybody's even. You're not really looking at it as the beginning of a season because you can't. And when they say they lost 63% of their schedule, when you see it written like that, you're like, wow, that's so true. But how you manage this will be, well, we even have, actually, Girardi talks about this. I don't know if you can find this quickly or not for me, Josh, but he says just in having to treat it like a late playoff race and where, you know, you really, really have to be looking for when people are fatigued.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah, well, it's the last one, Josh, but we'll come back to it. But along those lines, he was also saying that with the pitching staff in particular, to not have the spring training that they would have had, and also to you got to avoid overuse because the playoffs is when you really are going to need people. So the whole preparation leading up is very, very different. Here's Joe.
I think you look at it as you're a team in the race with 2 months to go. You know, you're tied for a division. You're tied for a wild card going in. But here's the major difference to me. You have to watch for fatigue and signs as much as you've ever watched for, just because players aren't going to be in the shape that they would have been had they had a normal spring training.
And that's true. I'm seeing, like, you could want to manage it differently because of the fact that it is a sprint season. But the flip side of that is the shape and to not have been able to put in the work in the way a normal spring training allows for. So, and I guess you really need your guys to be honest with how they physically feel. And then the eye test would tell you also of what that would look like. So here in this one article, when it's talking about how managing and what it requires of a guy like Girardi with the Phillies, you know, when a starter gets to 60 pitches or fewer, or a few more than that, I should say, 60 pitches or a few more than that in a game, Girardi would consider it a job well done. And with Major League rosters having expanded to 30 players for the first 2 weeks of the season, and eventually that number is going to go down to 26, he will have more arms and options at his disposal, and he'll likely need them. True. And right now, because his closer is also on that COVID-19, Hector Neris is on that list, Nola's on that list, and Zach Wheeler is not sure what he's doing with the season only because his wife is pregnant. So you do have extra arms and you probably need them. And in the Phillies case, hopefully they, you know, as time, they still have time here before the season starts to, I mean, you can't just go and find other arms is my point. It's probably the one area that you need the most.
Would you like to see Spencer Howard in the rotation at the start of this?
Guess what? Murph brought him up yesterday.
Okay.
And would I like to?
Yes.
I would. But maybe that's just me being selfish. Why am I drawing a blank on the new pitching coach? He's very good. We talked about him, and I love the fact that out of the gate, or as a young pitcher, Spencer Howard is going to get to, you know, work and work with somebody of that ilk. So I, Brian Price, thank you. I knew I it was, actually, Murph considered him like the three people that he's most looking forward to seeing. Girardi's work in action and every bit as much Price's with the pitching staff. Are you nervous to see Spencer?
No, I absolutely want to see him in the rotation. I want to see him as a starter. I don't want him, you know, missing this season or being put in like that relief type of role.
Yeah, I'm with you. Starter. And even if it's at the, so let's just say we know Aaron Nola, we know Zach Wheeler, we know Jake Arrieta. After that, he could be, and because I think in the beginning, they're going with a six-man rotation, if I read that properly. So tell me, he's got to be able to be one of the six.
Yeah, I mean, Eflin's probably the front runner for four. I mean, who knows with him? By the end of the season, you could say, all right, Spencer Howard's better right now than Zach Eflin.
Right. But I would agree with you, he'd be the fourth. And another pitcher is on the list, Suarez. Yeah. So even though you say you have extra arms in the Phillies case right now, they need some of those guys to get off that list. And hopefully that happens sooner because they haven't been able to do the work. They have to. And one of them, let's see. Oh, it was Cole Irvin. He was saying if you end up testing positive, he sees that as a 6 week. It'll cost you 6 weeks. Because in his mind, 2 weeks quarantine, 2 weeks of catch, and then 2 weeks of bullpen work. I mean, he's not wrong. So, we'll see. Yes, the Phillies are getting ready for this 60-game sprint, and there's so much that's interesting about this restart. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I've read an article about, because we have had a lot of discussion long before they came to this 60-game schedule and the two sides bickering and are they losing fans. The average attendance would say they are. It was at its lowest average attendance per game in baseball last year. I believe it was last year's. So what could they do to help it? And there was an article on NBC Sports Philadelphia that gave six suggestions. I will run them by you, and then I want you to call me and tell me what you like and what you don't of these suggestions that could make the game of baseball more entertaining. And I don't think it ruins the old school. I really don't. I think if you are old school and baseball is just your passion, I don't think you'll find these to be a problem. But we'll see. You can tell me. You can call me at 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.